Back live on the air through BBS Radio Online. Good evening, whatever time of day it is for you. Thank you for being here. Another Monday call. I'm unaware of what topic we have tonight. Let's see if there is an announcement yet. And there is not, so let's hang in there, wait and see. On this 7th day of January 2019, we had lots of rain here over the last couple of days in Northern California. And we wait for Winfrey and Terry Brown to present themselves here shortly. And we await for people to join in on the conference call or phone. And as usual, we do our daily whole planet healing call, which is at 7 p.m. Pacific, starting right after this call. And you can find the information. It's only accessible per phone, per office call. You can find the information on www.wholeplanethealing.com. And the phone number, I give it to you now. After I welcome the next caller, thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
It's Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Good evening to you. Welcome, my friend.
Hi, Hush. Thanks.
And I will continue with the phone number for the whole planet healing call. It's 712-770-4340 with the access code of 250-513-SOUND.
Hi.
Welcome to the next call. Is this Prudy?
Yes. Hi, hi. It's good you're here.
Hi, Prudy.
Yes. Hi. Thank you.
And I repeat the phone number one more time for the whole planet healing. 712-770-4340. The access code is 250-513-POUND. And I hope to see you there. And I welcome all those that are joining in online through BBS. Thank you for being here. I welcome the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Terry from Dallas.
Welcome to the call, Terry.
Thank you, Hutch.
You're welcome.
It's good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Are you moved in, Hutch? Well, never mind.
Welcome to the next call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Columbus, Ohio.
Welcome to the call, Shirley.
Thank you.
What was your question, Trudy? Or was it Terry? Can't hear either. two things at the same time. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi.
Good evening. Hi. This is Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
I hear Jeannie. Welcome to the call, Jeannie.
Hi, Don.
And welcome to the call, Don.
Hi, Jeannie.
Northern
Hi, Don.
Ohio. Hi, Heis. Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
Thank you.
Hi, Don. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Hi, Trudy.
Hi.
Trudy, did
Thank
you get my email?
Here.
Oh, I didn't check emails today, but I will look for it.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. See if I can look for it right now.
Multitasker.
Is Helen on the line?
No giggles yet.
Giggling. Yeah, I don't hear any giggling.
Somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Heis, and everybody. This is Joni, St. Louis.
Hello, Joni. Good
Hi,
evening.
Joni.
You're welcome.
Hello.
Hi, Joni.
Hi.
Welcome to the next person
All right,
here.
This
Thank
is
you for being here. Please say your
name
and location.
January.
Hi, this is Cecil, the C6C, shipping from Seattle.
Hello, Cecil. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, hi. Happy New
minutes.
Year to you.
Okay. Happy New Year.
60 Minutes yesterday is an interesting bit about a guy who may have figured out how to break down cellulose to get the sugars out of it, and then you can make ethanol or all sorts of stuff out of it. Using like, I forget, using like some kind of advanced thing, like a electron accelerator or something. I forgot what it was, some kind of a thing like that. You have to break down plant material. Interesting.
Did you ever see the guys that had cooking oil? Their engine ran on cooking oil?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Neil Young's got one of those.
Yeah, biodiesel.
Yeah.
Some good documentaries about that kind of thing. Fuel, I think, is the name of one of them.
Yeah.
We have another person joined in. Welcome. Please say name and location.
Yeah.
Or maybe the next person. Welcome. Please say name and location.
Hi, Heis. It's Jennifer from Greensburg, PA.
Hello,
hi, everybody.
Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, guys.
And a few more people joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say name and location.
Yes. Positive greetings from Sedona. This is Raiden.
Hello.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi, Raiden.
Hi, everyone.
More people have joined in. Back to you all. If you want to, please say name and location.
Hi, it's Janine from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Janine. Welcome. Good evening.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, Janine.
Hi, Janine.
Hi.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Feel free to say a name and location.
This is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry Brown. Welcome.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah. Many philosophers of camp.
That's right, Terry.
Something from outside, was it a visiting?
Integrate their reason for being here. And even my guess is even the 10% that were able to be of service, only a small portion of them got a full gestalt of why they were here. And the
Hi. I said, who's that? I said, who's that interrupting? Oh, my God. It sounds like me.
I win.
Carla, had anyone ever...
Okay, I got it paused.
We did have another person join in. Welcome to you. Please say name and location.
This is Suzanne in Columbus. Hello.
Hi, Suzanne. Happy New Year. Welcome.
Hi, Suzanne. Happy New Year.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hi.
Hi.
And everyone on BBS Radio listening and online, thank you for being here.
You know, hi, your voice sounds quite muffled today.
Oh, yeah, it's probably my phone reception over here.
Yeah, I think it sounds like your hand is on your microphone.
Is this better now?
A little bit, yeah. But that's okay.
Microphone. Another person joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Yes, hi. This is Brenda from D.C. How you doing this evening?
Doing well, Brenda. Thank you for being here.
Great.
So, Brenda.
Brenda, you got a joke for us, Brenda?
Nope. No jokes.
Well, never mind. It's okay. only if you want to.
Okay.
free will.
And somebody else joined in with Brenda.
Free will.
Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hi, Roger. Good evening. Welcome.
Roger.
Hi, welcome back, Roger. Guys. Hi, everybody.
And have you seen any baby elephants walking recently, Roger?
Any what?
Baby elephants walking.
I didn't get that.
Baby elephant walking.
Oh, no, not lately. Not around here, anyway.
I was just checking.
Just in my dreams.
Well, you know what? I understand if you want to fall asleep, it's much better to count elephants than it is to count sheep.
Slower moving.
And why is that?
Well,
slower moving.
Don says they're slower moving. I said, because if one falls on you, you're guaranteed to fall asleep.
Gwen, do you know how to get down off an elephant?
How?
You don't get down off an elephant. You get down off of a goose.
You get down off of his what?
Feathers.
Down off a goose.
Down off a goose?
You don't get down off of an elephant.
Oh, down, down.
Well, you're really slow. You're really
I got you. We did. Debbie, you were called us turned in. Welcome. Please.
Hey, it's Bonnie in California.
Welcome, Bonnie.
Okay, listen, I don't want to talk. No more new callers. I want to get started because this is a replay, and it's a long one. So,
diving under here.
If you come in after this, too bad for you. We ain't going to say hello to you.
Hi, Dharmananda.
Be that way, then.
Hi.
Hi, Dharmananda.
And, I hope I can start the tape.
I turned the things off.
Muted.
Okay.
I hope they're off.
Could somebody start the recording?
Yes, I can start it. This conference is being recorded.
Hey, this is...
Your conference recording has stopped. This conference is being recorded.
Yeah, you see, this is what happens when you have a dualistic recording machine, okay? Either it's dualistic or it's a Gemini. Should I or shouldn't I? Okay. Now, I have a problem here. I can't get my console to work. Let me see here. Okay. Hi. So I'm playing 1713, and it starts 34 minutes in. Are you on the console?
I'm not.
Are you on the console, Prudy?
I am not Prudy yet.
I am, yes.
Do you understand? Go to the recordings.
Yeah, 1713.
1713, 34 minutes in.
All righty.
And before you start it, let me just say a couple words, just introduction.
All right, this is January 7th.
Yep. Hang on. Okay.
Okay. Just get it in there. That's the beginning of it. Let me just give this intro. When I was first talking to the Elohim, and I was trying to decide, are they real? Is this real? Who are they? Somebody else must know something about them besides me. besides the Old Testament and the Mormons, who were just looking at them as a classical view of God. And so I was searching the word Elohim, and I found that one of the most interesting things I found was a journal, a transcription or a copy of a journal that was left by a guy by the name of Philip J. Dick, who was a science fiction writer who wrote stories for trashy supermarket science fiction magazines. Some of you remember the days that you couldn't go through a supermarket line, and besides the National Enquirer, there was Amazing Stories, there was, I can't remember the names, but it was full of sci-fi. And he lived in Berkeley. I never met him. I wished I did, although I probably wouldn't have had a clue how to talk to him. And he was kind of a cult figure. Especially after he died, many of his stories became cult movies and big screen movies like Blade Runner and Minority Report. And when I found this little part of his journal, the journal is called Exegesis, he was talking something about the Elohim, and then he was describing wanderers in the most eloquent, poetic way that made me cry. It makes me, and I shared it in 2013, and it made me cry when I shared it, because it so resonated with me at a deep level. And he didn't use the word wanderers. He used the word pluriforms of light, pieces of light that came down from the I don't know if he said the one infinite creator. I don't think so. None of this vocabulary was out there then. He may have said come from source, but I read the thing and I explained it as I was going, because he was very deep in the way he talked about it. And Carla, for the first time, Carla was my co-host, not a guest. And we bounced it back between us. And I'm going to have Prudy start it now. So, hopefully. Prudy?
Oops, I was muted. At 34?
34.
Okay.
And Carla, had anyone ever, before you did the raw material, had anyone addressed the idea of wanderers that came in from higher realms? Are you there, Carla? Hello, Carla. Why do I not hear anything? Let me just see something.
You know what, Vince? She dropped out when you asked for it. I think she pressed the wrong button. Let's hold on a moment.
Okay. Well, I'll just keep talking here because I'm going to read this. Daphne, are you on the line?
I have not seen her, no.
No, okay. Let me know if you see her. All right. So this is when I was studying all this, this is what I discovered. Philip Dick had written, it was in his journal, and how closely it matched what Carla said. And you know, I read it, you know, 10 years ago, and I put it aside. And then a few days ago, I happened to be having a conversation with my friend, Jillian, and I brought this out and read it. And it actually, I have to get through this, I hope, without getting, if I bite my tongue, it's because it brings tears to my eyes. And it might bring tears to some of your eyes, because...
Can you hear me, Wynn?
I hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got cut off. Yeah. I called back.
Yeah. You know what? Terry should teach you how to not let that happen, okay?
Do that, Terry.
Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a paragraph, okay? Then I'm going to read another paragraph. I'm not going to read, this is deep. And it's like, for those of you, it's very literary and very sophisticated. And so I want to simplify it as we go to make sure no one misses it. Let's see what time it is right now. 7:41, so we have about 15 minutes. That should be enough time. And then I suggest that you look it up yourself on the internet. If it reaches you, it's just look up Philip K. Dick Elohim Exegesis, E-X-E-G-E-S-I-S. Because this is one of the things that triggered me out of doubt in saying, oh my God, this is real. This is important. And it's why I struggled for so many years to say, how do I get this out into the world? This is going to be meaningful to people. And if it wasn't for things like this, I don't think I would have endured. I would have gone and done something else. Now, I'll translate some words as we go, because there's some vocabulary words here that you're not going to understand. And you will in the content. The belief that we are pluriforms of God voluntarily descended to this prison world, voluntarily losing our memory, identity, and supernatural powers, all of which can be regained through anamnesis, or mystical conjunction. Now, pluriforms of God, he goes on, it actually is named for wanderers, that were part of God, were part of the higher realms, that voluntarily descended to the prison world, and we've gotten lost here. And then he used, Carly, you know the word anamnesis, right?
Yes. It just means the recalling or the regaining of memory of what we lost, either from incarnations before this or simply from our total self.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it is known, it is regarded as the great blasphemy, replication of the original sin mentioned in the first book of Adam and Eve and in Genesis. Now, you know, when I read that, Carla, I go unconscious. Are you familiar with the terminology great blasphemy?
Well, yeah.
Well, tell us. Biblically, what is the great blasphemy? I think we lost Carla again. All right, let me keep going. For this pride and aspiration, our original fall and exile and punishment are being taken from our home, the garden land, and put into the prison was inflicted on us. They wish to be equal to, like us, the Elohim say, and toss us down. Yet I have reason to believe that this, the great satanic blasphemy, is true. Now, I was hoping Carla would interpret that, and she'll be on later. The idea is, I believe, that there is this illusion that we have sinned, and we are here because we sinned, and we have to redeem ourselves from our sins. And the fact of the matter is, we volunteered to come here, and in the volunteering, we couldn't help but get involved in the negative aspects of this realm. This is Wynn talking now. And that through that getting involved...
Okay, I'm back. You want me to talk about Adam and Eve, or have you gone further?
I'll go further. You know why you're dropping off?
No. Well, tell me why.
It's probably because there's too much energy on the line.
There's nothing I can do about that.
Right. Okay. So I was talking about the satanic blasphemy and the idea that we suffer in this realm because we've sinned. And in fact...
And that, you know, that's what I was going to say, was that anybody that's come up in the church has had little drilling in the fact that we are sinful. We are sinful by nature. We can't help being sinful. We can't help erring. And so in that context, the great hero in the garden was the snake, because the snake came in and cast light onto Eve. And she realized that she was more than a sinful person. She could learn. She wanted to learn. And that turning to the light meant that, well, what were the ministers of the church going to have left if we all think that we're pluriforms of God, if we all think that we're little sparks of the divine, if we think we're already there and all we have to do is remember? That won't work. That won't work for the church. So that's the great blasphemy.
Now, what I see is that those of us who descended into this realm didn't come out like saying, hey, we're here, guys. Are you ready? We descended from heaven. They got into the most foulest, darkest stuff, not knowing what they were into because their minds were blank. And because they went through this, they got the wisdom over many, many lifetimes to figure out how it works and to pay back, you know? But it's not the
whirlwind. Can you imagine the pain that people have gone through and are going through because they feel so doggone guilty?
Yes.
For everything.
I mean,
they feel like they're under judgment all the time. I mean, it's really, it's a tough room, you know?
Those people on the line now, when you're going through tough times, you know, don't make yourself wrong and feel guilty, because it's actually built into your system to think that you could be great heroes. And maybe you won't be a hero this lifetime, you'll be a hero next lifetime. This is part of learning how the dark works, so that you can stay out of it. Let me keep going here. First, we are here voluntarily. We did not sin, and we were not punished. We elected to descend. Why? To infuse the divine into the lowest strata of creation in order to halt its decomposing, the sinking of the lower realm. Okay, and what that's saying is that our realm, this realm, was breaking off from all that is and was getting totally separated, that the beings here were going to be lost to the dark, and that we decided to come into this realm to help stop that. Mm-hmm. It's a primordial crisis in creation. And I'm not going to, let's see. If Godhead itself falling apart into its yin and yang halves, with the lower form universe as God expressed physically in time and space, the solution was for the divine, the yang, the light form, to follow the lower realm down, permeating it, and thus reuniting the cosmos into one totality. To do this, elements of light advanced, descended into the dark kingdom, the immutable prison world. And upon doing so, they shed, and they knew what they would shed, their bright nature, their memory, their identity, their faculties, their powers, and fell under the dominion of the delusion that the dark kingdom is real, which when severed from the upper realm, it is not. The world we presently live in doesn't exist. There, they have lived as prisoners of the master magicians, the lords of the dark realm, who poses as the creator, and who may not even know of the light god, the true creator, his other half. But the light god and his pluriforms, the descending, invading sparks, have cunningly distributed clues in the dark realm to recall to the drugged and intoxicated sparks of light their true nature and their mission and their true source of home. Upon encountering these cryptic clues, the raw material was a cryptic clue, okay, in this realm. The David Wilcock Edgar Cayce was a cryptic clue, starting to put it all together. These cryptic clues, the forgetful sparks of the upper realm, now prisoners in and of the lower realm, remember, regain their powers and faculties, and link back up with the upper realm and the light god. They are the light god in pluriform, his way of invading the lower form in disguise. The light god, the divine, has now crucially occupied critical stations in the sinking lower realm and begins the re-annexing of it back into the totally composed of both realms. The sinking ceases. The master magician is stripped of his autonomy and assimilated to the yang part of Godhead as its passive counterpart. And once more, there is one microcosm ruled by the yang, light god, assisted by the now receptive yin, dark side. The divine has triumphed at all levels. The prison has burst, and the vast, life-filled garden kingdom restored as the home of all creatures. These now whole creatures, composed equally of yin and yang, are what I term homeoplasmates. The yin part is home, and the light or the yang part is the plasmate, or energy part, versus the physical. Thus renewed and complete microcosms, mirroring the renewed and complete macrocosm, are achieved. That means what's above matches what's below. Reality is imparted to the otherwise irreal lower realm, and the upper realm now extends physically into the realm of matter. The integrity of the Godhead is restored, its two halves function in harmony, and the primordial split or crisis is revolved and healed. I have read the above cosmology over and over and find no fault in it. In fact, I am amazed. It is a sense a cosmic and certainly Gnostic, but the Taoist overlay is novel and pleasing. This is all highbrow, sophisticated. You don't have to understand this.
This is all Philip Dick saying this. This isn't...
This is Philip Dick, yeah. The Taoist overlay redeems it from the flaws of conventional dualistic thinking, religions, and the problems therein. The lower realm Sphinx, not because it is corrupt or evil or somehow has rebelled, but because it is the nature of yin to sink, that is the nature of yang to rise. The pre-Socratics, those people who were around before Socrates, were aware of this. The model of the winnowing fan and the concept of the vortex. Yang must assimilate yin to keep the totality intact. Yang must renounce its natural tendency to rise and must descend. It cannot expect yin to rise because yin is not wise. It is only nous, and I don't know what that word means, N-O-O-S, that can understand that it must compensate against its own natural tendencies and do what is unnatural to it. Yin, so to speak, thick, unthinking, not nous, and then it has in parenthesis mind, and then descending into the yin realm is a sacrifice on yang's part, which through its bright or wise nature, it realized it must make. But it pays a great cost in terms of suffering, loss of memory and identity, abilities and faculties. It becomes pseudo-yin, literally disguised in the yin realm as if it were actually yin, even to the point of forgetting, until reminded, that it is not. This is the agony we face here in this irreal and dense yin realm. We yang traces. This is not our home. We are voluntarily... We are voluntary exiles here, alienated and alone, violating our own natures for a salvific purpose, a necessary purpose. Yin would not understand this, and until anamnesis sets in for us, we, in our distress, do not understand the reason either. Eventually, it will be revealed to us. Meanwhile, we ache with longing for our proper home, dimly remembered but deeply felt for. Thus, we suppose we are being punished. It feels like punishment, and we make the error of assuming we have sinned. On the contrary, we have renounced joy. Okay, here goes. Straight upwind. On the contrary, we have renounced joy now to produce greater joy later for the good of all creation. We are the Godhead itself, suffering the need to be what it is not, to ensure the ultimate stability of the universe, the unity of love. And moral, it is the ethical requirement placed on the Yang traces by their own bright nature to abandon their natural tendency to rise, to escape what is heavy and dark and sinking. They must go in pursuit of the falling part of the cosmos for the benefit of those and that which otherwise would be lost. This is the highest law, to violate one's own nature for another's good, and the most difficult and painful law to fulfill. Because of this need, there is distress in the cosmos, distress for the innocent especially. My cosmology simply presents it as fact. To escape it, we would have to allow the cosmos to decompose. Could we do that? The tragedy is, by the very nature of the sacrifice we make, we are occluded from knowing why. This is part of our sacrifice, our yang understanding. We must take on the dullness of yin to save the cosmos. We sacrifice the knowledge of why we sacrifice and assume guilt, spurious guilt in its place. This is asking a lot. But consider who we really are, or once were and will be.
Here we go again.
Wynn? Did you get disconnected, Wynn?
Here. I think we're snoring.
I guess, Wynn, you dropped out?
Oh, there you are.
This is Heis.
Dial in again. Crisis, by the way, just means mixture.
I want to say thanks to all those people who joined in through BBS, because BBS is leaving us. Wynn, are you here with us?
Let me go check out, see what's happening.
Bring some tissues.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for being here, Carla.
It's been a delight.
Hello?
Yes, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
I dropped out, right?
Yes.
Did I drop out before I read all of that, or before?
Yes, you dropped out in the middle.
Oh, my God. Well,
No. Only a minute ago.
I think it was somewhere around, but consider who we really are. It was real close to the end.
Well, you know what? Hang on.
Can't hear you again.
Then we cannot hear you. Yeah, now you are. Yes, we hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
You're there.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? We don't have time to reread what we lost. Although, if you want to stay on the phone line, I'll reread it. And then we're going to do something special with Carla on the phone line. And if you're listening on BBS, we're going to wish you good evening, and thank you for being here, and we'll see you Wednesday. And again, I'm going, when we do a mail out on this, I'm going to post on the Spirit Channel the text of that whole thing so you can read it. And it actually, as it comes to an end, it really, I am going to read it on the phone line for those that are still here. And I'm going to unmute everybody.
I will be so upset.
And we'll see you next time. Can you guys hear me? Hello?
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Very powerful win. Thank you so much.
Hang out on the phone line for a little longer. Okay. Okay. And we have a special treat. If you're on CS, we'll see you next. Thank you. Okay. Now, Carla, are you there?
I am.
I'll tell you what, I'm just going to read this last paragraph because this is, you know, this is like a poem. It builds to this dramatic point. And the point is, I mean, the point, just in my words, is that there's so many millions of people on this planet, and particularly many of those of us who resonate with this kind of material that we're presenting, who voluntarily chose to come into this realm, knowing they would forget everything, and they did it as a huge sacrifice, getting retrapped in reincarnation, and until they could find something that would wake them up. And they did it because if they didn't, this realm would be lost. And it's only those beings that made that sacrifice that gives this realm the hope, the possibility of reuniting with the Yang, the greater light god in the universe. And Philip Dick's moral, it is the ethical requirement placed on the Yang traces by their own bright nature to abandon their natural tendency to rise, to escape what is heavy and dark and sinking. They must go in pursuit of the falling part of the cosmos for the benefit of those and that which otherwise would be lost. This is the highest law, to violate one's own nature for another's good, and the most difficult and painful law to fulfill. Because of this need, there is distress in the cosmos, distress for the innocent especially. My cosmology simply presents it as a fact. To escape it, we would have to allow the cosmos to decompose. Could we do that? The tragedy is, by the very nature of the sacrifice we make, we are occluded from knowing why. This is part of our sacrifice, our Yang understanding. We must take on the dullness of Yin to save the cosmos. We sacrifice the knowledge of why we sacrifice. An awesome guilt, spurious guilt in its place. This is asking a lot. But consider who we really are, or once were and will be again. Who else can do it? There is no one else. There is only Yin, which does not know. The part of the organism that knows must help the part that doesn't know. But this means abandoning its own knowing. It becomes what it helps, a dreadful irony, one that hurts. But it is only temporary, just for a little while, and then we go home for all eternity. And that's the end of that. And Carla, are you on?
I am. I just think he was brilliant to put that together. It sounds, as he noted, very much in some ways like the Gospel of John in the Bible, stating that the light came into the darkness and the darkness knew it not. But the darkness also could not do anything to remove it. And so the light remains. And we are children of the light if we believe in Jesus. Very similar in those points.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus himself often said, you know, you are heirs through hope of the Creator. You are children of God. You are sparks of the Creator. I give you the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is with you until the end of the age. And that Spirit will be able to share with you the knowledge that you do not have. So ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask for its passion. Ask for its surety. And I think in whatever way we call upon Spirit, if we can escape Christianity, fine. Doesn't matter. What matters is our awareness of who we are. We have come into the darkness. We are not the darkness. We are attempting, in our clumsy way, to lighten the darkness. And there is great joy in that service, and there is great suffering in that service. And I certainly can testify to that. But, oh, I would not change anything in my life, not one iota of it, because of the joy of knowing that you're actually helping. And I get letters every day, so, you know, I no longer have any question. I'm helping, okay, I get it. You know, so I just want to go on and keep on and be a part of this wonderful sacrifice that we all are a part of so that we find out who we really are or who we once were, as Dick says, and will be again. Who else can do it? There's no one else except us bozos. Isn't that funny? Isn't that ironic? And isn't it wonderful that we bozos can do this thing? And we can do it together, you know? That's the thing. We can't do it isolated from each other. Not really. We really have to know that everybody else is right there with us or wants to be and wants to know how. So the service is the imparting of information to help people get it, to help people begin their own walk in spirit.
And we are actually extensions of the divine in this realm.
Indeed.
And if not for us, who? That's what he's
so
saying.
Step up to the plate, humanity.
The plate.
Yeah.
Forget step up to the plate, humanity. Just step up to the plate, those of you who are listening and can integrate this. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to feel shame.
No, no. If it appeals to you, grab onto it. And there are people to help you with that.
Right. Now, we have something special we're going to do. And I'm going to unmute people and see who wants to take a chance. But I'm not going to tell you what you're taking a chance for. Is that okay, Carla?
Oh. Well, it's okay, except that I was wanting to ask you if I could tell you the history of Rosie.
We are.
But if I tell you the history of Rosie, then that'll spoil your surprise.
Right. So let's just have somebody say, somebody who thinks they need a lot of support and help, somebody who's really going through it. And let me see. You know, the problem here, the reason I'm being so, what's the word? And up front,
yes.
You know, below the surface and bringing this, is that everybody's going to want this. And we don't have time, and Carla doesn't have energy. So we're just experimenting with this to see if we could do it for a few people and see how that works. And as of right this moment, Carla and I are going to do some kind of session on Saturday where we're going to do maybe a three-hour session discussing the Law of One material. So watch for my notice. There's going to be a small charge, and no one will be turned away that can't afford it. So, and that note, let's see. Do we have any?
Teresa will take a chance.
I'd like to go after Teresa. This is Daphne. Please.
Yes.
Oh, hello, Daphne.
Two.
Pardon me? This is Daphne, too.
Hello, Daphne. Hi.
And more.
Pauline. Pauline will take it.
Pauline?
You just weren't.
Pauline, where are you?
Didn't enough.
Okay. A lot of noise, but I hear Daphne number two from Illinois and Colleen. Can I mute those if you want me to?
Yeah, was that Colleen?
Colleen from Vancouver.
Vancouver, not Pauline, Colleen. Okay. All right, stand by. And I'm going to, where everyone's muted again. And we're going to unmute you in just a second, or the people. It says the thing. Well, one time, Carla and I were doing one of our Monday night shows probably a year ago, and I don't remember how it came up, but I discovered that Carla had an unusual talent that was different from the Rob channelings or the Flo channelings, and I wanted to take a moment and let Carla share with you a little bit about this unusual talent that she has that came up on that show. So go ahead, Carla.
Okay. In 1971, which was 3 years before I began channeling, and while Don was still involved in trying to look at physical things rather than metaphysical things, we went to Anderson, Indiana, to several seances where people were talking to their dead relatives. Don just wanted to find out if it was true that, you know, there was life beyond death. He was really, truly seeking hard. Well, you know, there were three that we went to that were completely, you know, people running around in sheets and bilking the public. And then we went to a fellow named James Tingley, and he was remarkable. He was the most authentic materialization medium you could ever want. And we went to him twice. It was just a pleasure to be in his seance. The second seance that we were in was very powerful. And at one point, a little form rose up, not from his enclosure, which is where the light, you know, the plasma usually comes from, but it just rose up from the floor. And it ran around the circle to me, and I couldn't see. I don't see well in the dark. I have only 30% of my cones and rods, which means I don't see well in the dark. So Don said to me, he says, you've got somebody hanging on to your knee and just hugging you for all she's worth. She's looks like a little child. And she said her name was Rosie, and she was an angel. And she just loved me and loved my energy, and she wanted to be with me always. She promised me that she would make me feel safe. She promised me that she would always love me, and she promised me that she would help me find lost things. She hasn't ever helped me find lost things. I'm too dense for that, but she's been wonderful. And I discovered one time when I was desperately concerned for a friend of mine that she could ask other angels if they wanted to come and be with people. So I discovered I had the ability to ask Rosie, and Rosie would tell me who the angel was and where they were going. So I would appreciate it if I could hear just a bit about your story before I ask Rosie anything, because I'd like to be a friend of yours and not just a stranger. And when I ask Rosie, I'd like to be your pal and say, my friend needs help. Thanks.
I can hardly hear a word.
Could you hear anything?
I can hear you. Are you there, Wynn? I cannot hear Wynn now.
No good.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
All right. I was muted.
Did you hear that?
I heard it, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, we're all right then.
Yeah. Could, I mean, briefly speaking, just in case I'm louder than Carla, I'll just tell you in a couple seconds what she just said, is that she had this little being, light being, that introduced itself to her and said it was Rosie, and that wanted to work with Carla, and that Rosie was associated with all these other angels, and that Rosie had the ability to assign angels to people to help them. And so that's what we're going to do right now. And I know everybody wants an angel assigned to them. And I'm going to work on the project of figuring out how we can do this en masse. But right at the moment, we can't. So we had three people, and I wanted Teresa, she was the first person, to unmute herself, to do star six, and just say hello, and we'll let you know when we hear you. Teresa.
Me?
This yes, we Teresa. Hear you, Teresa.
Oh, thank okay. you so much.
So, Teresa,
yes.
maybe you could just share a little bit about yourself so that they can tune into your energies, and then we'll turn it back over to Carla and see what happens. And what would you do with an angel if you had a personal angel to help you?
Oh, wow. That's a lot. let me see if I can grab things quickly that pop in my head is important. I'm adopted. My parents were estranged from me. My father spent his life in prison. And my mother is schizophrenic. My grandparents raised me. My grandfather came from Hungary. They kept the family secret about being Jewish from Hungary for years. I just found out recently. And I have found out a lot about myself in the past year that is unfolding to me, and I don't really know why, except that I think that I gained some strength from knowing some of my ancestry, and I'm alone and get lonely. I'm estranged from my husband, and I've lost everyone in my life, my daughter, my husband, my mother and father, so everyone that's really important to me. So I find myself alone now, far away from everyone, in a cabin on a frozen lake, and it's beautiful here. And I'm trying to find my purpose in life, and finally I'm alone to do that. So if I had an angel, I suppose I would want that angel to be of assistance in that.
Mostly what angels do is they just make you feel safe. And they make you feel that you're not alone, that you're always loved, just loved to death, just loved and loved, you know, hugged and hugged. So I think that it grounds you in a funny way to have an angel with you that is part of your mission in life. So let's see what Rosie has to say. Rosie, are you there, sweetheart? Rosie's here. Well, Rosie, did you offer an angel the opportunity to go and see Teresa? Yes. And who is going to go? Oh, my goodness, it's a fellow named Quinn. She says that he is very eager to help you, very eager to be with you, and he'll do his very best to help you to realize your mission and just realize what a wonderful person you are. So you have Quinn. Now, you must ask for him, and you need to thank him every day. Otherwise, following the rules of free will, he won't be able to help you. So just say, Quinn, I know you're there. Thank you so much. And then you'll feel that safety, and you'll feel that companionship, and you can go from there.
Thank you so much, Quinn. Thank you very much. I look forward to any assistance I can glean from Quinn, and I will be very grateful. Thank you.
And let us know your experiences, okay?
Okay.
Share it back.
Wynn?
Yes.
Morgan here?
Morgan?
Hi, Dom. I'm in California.
Wait a second. I don't know if we have time for four.
I don't need one. I just wanted to tell you how wonderful it has been having the angel Morgan come to me.
George, you mean? Was it Morgan? Morgan.
I think it was Morgan.
Okay.
I thought that's what you said. Things got a little muffled.
I think it was Morgan.
It was definitely Morgan.
Yep, Morgan for Morgan. That's what I heard in my
head.
That's
the one with George.
Mm-hmm.
I can't thank you enough. It has been
the last
few days have been so different from the whole rest of my life. I can't tell you how wonderful and appreciative I am. And he asked me when he first came, he said, can we be one being thing? And I said, sort of like I always do, I said, could we just be friends first? he said, whatever you want. But then by the morning, if you can integrate, come on in. That's fine. Because it was such a light lit, blessed evening. It was the most peaceful hug I have ever gotten in my life. And it was fabulous. And he was talking to me all night, and that's fine with me. So anyway, thank you.
Morgan, you tend to be intuitive, right? You can feel things and sense things, right? So not everyone, they may get their angel talking to them. They only may get good energy.
Yes.
So I just want to make sure that everyone doesn't expect your experience, but thank you for sharing it. And that was the first time we did this recently, the first angel, and why we decided to try this again. And thank you, Morgan, and thank you for sharing.
You're so welcome. Thank you, guys. Bless you guys, and keep up the good work.
All right,
Bertie,
is Daphne too there?
Yes.
Bertie.
Yes. Hi.
Yeah.
We got to stop and go over the whole planet.
We hear you.
I hear you.
Okay, great. Okay.
Okay, so, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm sorry that it dropped out so much, but I think everyone got the idea. And
unmuted.
How many of you identify with the idea? How many of you identify with the idea of being a pluriform of light in this realm?
Yeah,
I do.
Yes. Yeah.
Interesting. That was amazing.
We will see you at Whole Planet Healing, and thank you all for being here. If anyone doesn't know how to get to Whole Planet Healing, it's 712-770-4543, and 25, the pin is 250-513.
Thank you.
Okay. Your conference recording has stopped.